What's better than this? Guys, being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert floating around. You never know when he's going to land, but he's here producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network. We're brought to you by Bet Online, the best spot for you to place all your sports wagers and get all your sports information. They've got it all. Football's futures, the fights, Major League Baseball, the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs. It's all there for you. Vegas casino games and poker games. It's all over at Bet Online. Check them out. Head to the website. You can use your desktop or mobile device. Sign up today. We'll give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELEAV to get started. That's BLEAV. It's Bet Online, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy National Paper Airplane Day to you.
I can't tell you the last time I made a paper airplane.
I bet you were good at it, though. I think this is a skill that you have. I personally am not good at making paper airplanes, but I think this is something that I would, like if we had a contest, you ever see these contests people have? You make a paper airplane, you throw it, and you see who goes the furthest. I feel like I would not want to go head-to-head against you in that.
Yeah, if you're able to get more than just like the basic four folds, right, where it's
that's
like
all I have
the middle,
all I have in the bag,
fold the two outer halves, and then drop the plane, the wings down, and shoot it. Like if you're able to add more layers to the front, make it more aerodynamically, it's like the boxcar races. You ever seen the boxcars where you got to cut?
I have also the, also the bad wheels. At that.
Yeah. So it's all about aerodynamics. So I don't know a lot about that, but I kind of have like the intrinsic ability to make it work. I don't know why.
Shuby, I think Shuby would be good at paper airplanes as well. If we were having a contest, I think
killer paper airplane guy.
Oh, look at it. He's floating around. Here he is.
You guys said it, right? Paper airplanes. And I tried to think of in my head, I don't think I could make one right now. I think I have forgotten how to make a paper airplane since my
childhood. No, that's poppycock. You can do it. If I put a sheet of paper in front of you right now, the light bulb would come on.
And this is not just for the show. I don't think you're right. Like I'm having a mental just blank right now.
Chris, you can build computers. You can't fold a friggin' piece of paper.
It is true.
To be a paper airplane.
But no, I don't think if you asked me to right now, I could do this.
Well, you have
handy to find.
You have 25 minutes. Get out of here. Kyle and I are going to talk about what is it?
Electric Bugaloo.
Yeah, Rich Boy Summer 2 Electric Bugaloo? Or is it Boogaloo? I have no idea.
Bugaloo.
We did not cover as much ground as...
Boogaloo. Electric Boogaloo.
Thank you.
Bugaloo. It's all the same thing. Before we get there, real quick, did you happen to see the... and I'm already filibustering so that we can have another sequel and come up with another fun title. So, Chris, start planning accordingly now. Did you see the roster changes that were accepted at the owners' meetings this week?
16-man practice squads. I think that's all I know. So if there's more than that, tell me.
Players designated to return from the reserve, injured reserve, or non-football injury list are eligible to come back after four games have elapsed since the date he was placed on the applicable reserve list. Previously, players were eligible to return after three games missed. So that's a little bit more of a strategic hurdle for teams. You're also given an additional, I think it's an additional player to be elevated off the practice squad on any given week as well. I think it's three.
Yeah. In the limit on the players that can come off of injured reserve, I think it's eight, right? In the past, maybe it was one or two. So I think that's significant. And look, the worst thing about football is injuries, right? Like it sucks. You build a team, you expect to have it, and then a player is not available and it changes so much about your football team. Like give teams everything that they can have to overcome injuries. And look, I haven't played Madden very often in my life recently, but I turn off the injuries in Madden. But there's Chris. Imagine not watching on YouTube so you could see Chris's whatever that
Chris
is.
Chris has a paper airplane.
We got it. The brain fired. It was like, oh, you're back in fourth grade. We got you from here. And I just did it. I didn't even think. The synapse is fired.
It's like driving the car home from the gas station that's a mile from your street. Like, you don't even think. It's just autopilot. Just boom, boom, boom. Yep.
All right. Chris didn't need 25. You were, by the way, Chris or Kyle called his shot there. He said, once you get the piece of paper in front of you, your instincts are going to kick in. And
your hands.
Chris was very excited and happy about that paper airplane. So
I will tell you, there was a fold attempt that was wrong. And then that's when the brain kicked on. It was like, dude, you got to do it this way. And I was like, got it. And then I just did it. So very, very happy.
Congratulations.
So we did not cover, as much ground as we wanted to. Yesterday. And that's why Rich Boy Summer 2 is here.
Rich Boy Summer 1. And now Rich Boy Summer 2 Electric Boogaloo, excuse me, is now on deck.
I think you were wanting to get to the Deebo Samuel conversation, and then I was like, no, I have more to say about these running backs, and so maybe now we can talk about Deebo Samuel.
Well, and also Deebo's going to be a long-winded conversation too, I feel like. I don't know that this is going to turn into yesterday's Lamar Jackson conversation, but I do feel like this will be... This is a nuanced conversation after Deebo went off for 1,700 yards and 14 touchdowns last year, right? And acknowledging this is courtesy of NFL.com's All Paid Team of Tomorrow content series that they have produced that's looking at players with contracts that are coming up, and we have turned that into Rich Boy Summer. So Deebo Samuel, obviously there was some riffraff with the 49ers. Earlier this offseason as it pertained to Deebo and his satisfaction within his role, and it felt like he was pushing his way away from the team, and then they didn't trade him. So I guess how comfortable with you with Deebo Samuel being able to replicate this kind of success and demanding the forecasted total here from NFL.com is $27+ million per season.
Yeah. Well, for Deebo, I mean, he was hella productive last year, and I think this is just an example of a player wanting to cash in while he can, and we know that Debo's had his share of injuries, you know, dating back to college and even in the NFL, and so this is like that ripe opportunity for Deebo to get paid, especially on the heels of all of the receivers that got paid, whether it was Christian Kirk, but also Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, all these players, A.J. Brown got paid. So it's like... It feels like the timing is right for Deebo. Now, where I get a little bit nervous about the entire conversation, both from a Deebo perspective and I guess whatever team is going to eventually pay him, is this the type of player that is most valuable to the 49ers? And the name that I think a lot about is Randall Cobb. And I remember when his contract was a thing and, you know, he was a hot player with the Packers. And you know, I think he left and wound up signing a big deal somewhere else. And he never was really that productive a player because you always thought to yourself, I feel like this is just a really good spot for him to be the player that he is. And I feel similarly about Deebo. Now, what's good for Deebo is there's a lot of Kyle Shanahan disciples out there that are running offenses, right? So you can see the path for him to have those same opportunities, but Deebo doesn't want those opportunities, right? He wants to reduce significantly the amount of rushing attempts and, you know, manufactured touches that he gets. He wants to be a more traditional wide receiver, which is kind of an interesting proposition because of the role that he filled last year, like that was such a narrative this offseason. Who's the next Deebo? You got to find the next Deebo Samuel. And as it would turn out, Deebo Samuel doesn't want to be Deebo Samuel just because that utilization is a lot of, it's taxing on the body. And so like, there's a lot of complicated layers to this situation, but I think at the end of the day, Deebo wants to strike while the iron's hot. The injuries have been an issue. Receivers are getting paid left and right. And Deebo wants to fall in.
I think I'm fairly confident in saying this, and this was a sentiment that we communicated on our discussion around Josh Allen yesterday. I'm fairly confident that Deebo Samuel, just from like a probability standpoint, will not equal the season that he had in 2021 from a volume of production ever again. He was just the second player in NFL history, this courtesy of NFL.com, with 8 rushing touchdowns, 6 receiving touchdowns, and a passing touchdown the same season. Gale Sayers in 1965 was the only other time it had been done. This was the second highest yards from scrimmage season in the history of the 49ers behind one Jerry Rice season with 1884 and 1995. Like, this is an all-timer season. So from that standpoint, if I'm Deebo, I'm trying to get locked in on the contract now too, because the market probably dictates $27 million per season.
How much of that do you wonder, though, is like teams aren't okay. Teams do weird things all the time and not intelligent things all the time, but you would feel like they would understand that this is an outlier season. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Deebo Samuel. I think he's a really, really dynamic football player that any team would like to have on their roster. But like, he had 18 yards per reception this year. Before that, I mean, he didn't get higher than 14.1. He had like 6 receiving touchdowns this year. He had 4 the previous 2 seasons combined. Like, everything here is different than previously. I mean, he had more total yards from scrimmage in 2021 than he did in 2019 and 2020 combined. So how, like, to me, there's a lot that presents some very tense negotiating, right? Like,
yes,
because if I'm teams, I'm going to bring all that stuff up. If I'm Deebo, I'm going to say, no, this is who I am. Like, you got to pay me.
Really,
and he's not super
thing,
young. He's 26.
The really crummy thing for Deebo too is San Francisco does have the franchise tag in their back pocket, right? And like, the franchise tag from a team building perspective is a really valuable tool for teams. But it, in situations like this, like, I almost feel like Deebo, who's not attending OTAs, really needs to press the issue now and try and get off the roster now. Because if you don't, you're going to be met with that franchise tag, and then you're going to get into that whole limbo of, I'm not going to sign my tender. And that whole song and dance gets, are you really going to start forfeiting $1 million per game or whatever? It's probably more, a little more than $1 million per game for the 2023 franchise tag at the wide receiver position, which I think is like 18 and a half this year. So I don't blame Deebo for putting the hammer down and trying to manufacture as much leverage as he can get right now, because the 18-month forecast for Deebo in San Francisco and trying to get a new contract is not pretty for Debo's leverage and side of things. So good on him for starting it now.
Kyle, you said the number that you said the number that is listed on the NFL.com website is 27. So I looked this up. Let me just bump my audio up here for you guys for just a second.
Thanks.
That would be 4th amongst wide receivers currently, just looking at the average per year basis. The 3 players in front of him would be Tyreek Hill's $30 million per year with the Dolphins, Devontae Adams recently $28 million per year with the Raiders, and DeAndre Hopkins $27.25 million with the Cardinals. That would put him just in front of A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, D.J. Moore, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. Those would be the players he would be just in front of, just for context.
I think that the A.J. Brown contract is probably one that hurts that valuation. I think if I'm a team negotiating with Deebo, I'm probably angling to get below that 25 threshold.
Did you know most people are paying too much on their auto loan? Dave used Auto Approved to refinance his car, replacing his overpriced loan with a cheaper loan and lowering his monthly payment. Now, since he saved with Auto Approved, he's sitting behind the third base dugout instead of the bleachers. Auto Approve connects vehicle owners with their best available rates to refinance their existing car loans with no markups ever, and handles the paperwork, yes, even the DMV, making it simple to save thousands and pay less each month. How? By instantly accessing the nation's top lenders to uncover great savings. When you refinance with Auto Approve, you get your best rate and more with an advocate that works for you to make sure you get the best deal that's right for you. In fact, in 2021, Auto Approve was able to save their customers on average over $150 a month. That means more money for better seats, better snacks, or that new jersey you deserve. Not only will they save you on your monthly auto payment, but for all of our listeners that refinance through Auto Approve, they'll send you $100 cash to your mailbox. So what are you waiting for? Auto loan rates are historically low. Take your tailgate to the next level when you refinance with Auto Approve. Put more money in your pocket for what matters most. To find out how much you could save and to claim your $100 cashback offer, visit autoapprove.com/believe. That's autoapprove.com/BLEAV. Let me ask you a question here, because I have a hard time with this, I'll be honest. And I don't necessarily feel strongly in any direction, but I will admit that I have a hard time with this. And it's this concept, this belief, this thought that we have about football players and them being team first guys. And hey, whatever it takes to help the team. You know, I think about whenever certain players have to do a punt return or a kick return, and you know, they're a star receiver or a star defensive back or something like that. And they're like, yeah, whatever it takes to help the team. Deebo Samuel is blatantly saying, no, I don't want to do whatever it takes to help the team. That's not what I want to be. I want to do these specific things, but I also want you to pay me all the money. Like, how do you receive that messaging and apply it to this situation? Because I have a hard time with it.
I don't know that I would consider Deebo to be a non-team player. I think there's probably an understanding of like what that kind of role is going to do for me long term, and wanting, I shouldn't have to tightrope wanting to win and helping my team win with significantly and severely doing potential long-term damage to my career as a player who's already had some durability issues going back to his time in South Carolina. So there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. And I think San Francisco probably tightroped to that with how much they implemented Deebo as a backfield player and a primary ball carrier. I think what is really interesting is Deebo is still like super tight with Coach McDaniel, who's now in Miami, and he was the OC. So like there's all this talk about like the
but not
role,
the play caller,
the
right?
Usage.
Does that matter?
I don't know. But I know McDaniel's getting credits for putting Trent Williams at H-back and motioning him across the set for a split flow inside zone. So like he was probably a part of the same decision making to have Deebo Samuel be a player in the backfield. So it's more so for me, like I'm wondering, is there something else that's happened or has happened beyond just the role? Because like he is still like he was having dinner with McDaniel like 2 months ago in Miami while he was training. So it's just weird to me.
Those dynamics may be true. Like, I mean, we're talking about a guy that went to high school in South Carolina, played his college ball in South Carolina. Like maybe the West Coast and San Francisco is not his scene, you know? And like, sometimes we don't take into consideration some of those dynamics where like, yeah, you're a football player and this is what you do and this is your passion and what you love. But like when you're not in a city that you want to be in. And I'm not saying that look, people in San Francisco, like put your pitchforks down. I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with your city or anything like that, but like maybe for Deebo, he's not a West Coast guy and he wants to be closer to home and those types of things. Like we've seen that influence a lot of players' decisions.
It's really hard for me to get a firm vibe on like, is it really the role in usage?
Right.
Is there something with Shanahan? Is it regional? Like, I don't know. It's just kind of odd to me.
So I guess the way that we can maybe answer that question is, I don't know, like if the 49ers offer him a deal that is 5 years, $130 million.
And he turns it
down. With a huge amount of that being, you know, like, a notable amount, like a good amount guaranteed.
So let's say 60% fully guaranteed. So that, I mean, you're talking like, I don't know. That's what makes it weird.
Right. So that's why it's like all these things that we're speculating about, whether it's the location, whether it's the role, whatever is in play here. It's weird. Look, and I think what's interesting about the situation is we've seen the 49ers do this with DeForest Buckner, where it's like, hey, we're at that point. We can't pay you, but we'll take a first-round pick. And it seems like Buckner's happy with the Colts. And maybe Deebo kind of saw that all work out and said, yeah, I want to kind of be that player. There's a precedent here that that's a possibility. And, you know, he's seeing where it can get him. But the DeForest Buckner thing more than anything felt a little random. Like, I think we all speculated that it could happen, but it was like, oh, all of a sudden the Colts traded their first round pick for Buckner. And we're like, oh, I guess I see this for both sides. But, you know, like Debo, even with, like, I don't want to lump Kyler and Debo together, but like how other quarterbacks have gotten what they wanted is not in line with what Kyler is doing. You know, and I somewhat feel the same way about Debo, where like, hey, the buttons that you're pushing haven't necessarily, like, that's not how everyone else got what they received. So
what I think is really interesting, what's really interesting to me is we've discussed three positions now and the number one player at each position, like, I wouldn't think is going to get a deal this summer. So we are still in search of like our first slam dunk, because we did Lamar. We acknowledged Kyler, but Lamar was the top quarterback. Jonathan Taylor was the top running back. And now Debo's the top wide receiver. And like, I don't think any of them get contracts done this summer. So we're still search of like our first legitimate rich boy summer poster boy.
I feel if we ever get to tight ends, I feel good about where that conversation can go for that answer. But like, as you think about some of these other receivers, like, I know Debo certainly dominates this conversation, but in DK Metcalf's right there. Terry McLaurin's a player in that mix. You know, eventually we'll get to the Justin Jeffersons of the world and the CeeDee Lambs and those players. But like, is anybody going to get the bag this summer at receiver? Do you expect some movement here at all?
I would not be surprised if either Metcalf or McLaurin gets paid.
Well,
neither one's really Arizona, locked like into long-term court. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say Arizona. Like, you just gave up a one for Marquise Hollywood Brown. You got to pay him, right? Like that. I'm not doing any of that stuff, but. You can't pay a one just to get it to have a season to see what it's like. Can you? That's a hell of a rental cost, man.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm letting him walk. I'm just saying I'm not paying him until he realizes what he's. I'd rather string that one out too. I would probably pay Deontay Johnson in Pittsburgh. I would pay both McLaurin and Metcalf if I was Seattle and Washington. Neither one of those, all three of those teams have flexible quarterback salaries at their disposal.
Where are you?
You're at like, that so point you if you're Seattle, you got to worry about Tyler Lockett getting older. So yeah. I definitely make sure I lock Metcalf in.
No doubt. What's your appetite with Deontay Johnson? I mean, the dude's been getting a ton of targets. His production has went up every single year. Do you just accept that there's going to be some variance with him and like you just have to take a little bit of the inconsistency for everything else that he brings to your football team?
Yeah, I think he's a really good player. I understand that there's some frustration there. 313 targets the last two seasons, right? Like
he's been a really
busy football player. Really busy football player. And from a production standpoint, he's over 2,100 yards from scrimmage the last two seasons combined with 15 touchdowns. He's a really good player. I'd pay him what Christian Kirk got, no questions asked.
Oh, God. Yes. But I feel like we're going to keep doing that, right? Like, Christian Kirk's going to be this piece of the conversation every time we talk about receivers. Like, I'd give him the Kirk deal.
I'd pay him more
because
than
Kirk.
I wouldn't pay him AJ Brown, but I'd pay him more than Kirk. I'd probably put him in the middle. I'd probably give him $22, $23 million per season. Now, some Pittsburgh fans, your head might be ready to explode thinking about that, but that's the way the market's going if you want to keep good players.
His drop percentage was 3% last year, so that is something that has gotten better. But I don't know. It just seems like the results, and I'm excited to see him. Well, I mean, I don't know that their quarterback situation's improved, but I don't know that, like, it's certainly not one of the best quarterback situations in the league, you know?
He's been a pretty productive yards after catch guy, too. I mean, he's averaging more than 5 yards, like five yards for his career, yards after catch, per catch.
In an offense that's played, you know, like you always say, it's like played in like 10-yard boxes.
Yes.
It's pop gun offense. Like, imagine if there was some, like, favorable spacing for this guy to work.
Is it safe for me to say Cooper Kupp's not going to get a contract extension, given this is technically like the first year of like new money in his current deal?
I mean, yes.
I was surprised he was also on the list.
It also feels like, do you remember Julio Jones in Atlanta, like during his prime? It just felt like every year he got a new deal. So you started to tell yourself, like, they just paid him. It's like, oh, another contract for Julio Jones. Like, oh, yeah, it must be July because we do this every year. So, I mean, Cooper Kupp's the best value in the NFL, though, right? Like, this contract, it's a three-year, $47 million deal. He just had, the greatest season a receiver's ever had.
So I guess technically, they put two void years on the back end of the deal, and they split the $4.6 million in the signing bonus across two extra years on the back end. But his base salary this year is nearly $15 million. So maybe that makes it them a little bit more receptive to technically paying him, because he did get paid last year from a signing bonus perspective. So I get that. But this is the first year of the really big salary in 2022. So I'd be surprised if he, especially for the Rams with the way that their spending proportions are, right? Like, he's already 10% of the cap. I'd be kind of surprised. 9% of the cap if it happened this year. So give me paying Deontay Johnson, give me paying Terry McLaurin, give me paying DK Metcalf, because I think those guys are all in that AJ Brown bucket for pay. And I'm with you. Very much here for all of that. But still no Hallmark players. That'll come with Darren Waller when we talk about Darren Waller, but that will not be today. So, Chris, do you have a Rich Boy Summer 3 sequel title for us to start billing everybody for the next time, which I would assume would be Monday, given we have takes on takes.
Rich Boy Summer 3 coming Monday. I'm just going to do what every other does. Untitled sequel coming soon. I don't have the title yet, so it's an untitled sequel.
Untitled sequel coming soon should be just, that should be the title, the whole thing.
So we're just going to
Rich Boy Summer 3 untitled sequel coming soon.
We're just going full meta.
We didn't mean
for
this to happen.
I like this. I like what we're doing here.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to get into, so make sure you plan accordingly. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris Schubert, the Draft Dudes. Thanks to our friends at BetOnline for their continued support of the show, and thanks for all of you for listening and watching. Make it a good one. We'll talk with you guys again tomorrow.